Hour of the show is Leela in Cocoa, Florida. Leela, you're on the Mutual Fund Show. How can I help you?
Hi, Adam. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I'm so glad you're there. My husband is almost 60 years old, and we don't have a lot of money for investing, but we have a small, we call it 401k at his job. But my question is about, we have a small, it's a variable annuity through H&R Block.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know what you call it, but it's one of those where you put in your money, and then when you retire, you can draw so much per month, and when it's gone, they'll continue to pay you out of their own pocket or something monthly.
Yeah.
And what do you know about that? This is called the Nationwide Lifeboat Future 2 something.
Yeah.
Variable annuity.
What I will tell you is I am not a big fan of these variable annuities. And there are a number of reasons for it. First of all, the fees and expenses that you are paying for that guarantee is very, very high. Basically the way they pitch it is just like you say, well, if you put your money in and then when you retire, you can take money out and you'll never run out of income because we'll pay it out of our own pocket.
Yeah,
well,
now
let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. That insurance product, that variable annuity, is issued through the Nationwide. You've heard of them, right? Big national,
right.
Fortune 500 insurance company.
Uh-huh.
If the Nationwide, big multi-billion-dollar insurance company, thought that you would give them you give them money, and that they over the years would have to pay out more money than you put in, do you think that they would sell that product? Who do you think knows more about the risks and the expenses, and you or the multi-billion-dollar insurance company? The bottom line is that these guarantees are not all they're cracked up to be. The fees and expenses that you're paying are very, very high, and I would tell you the tax treatment is not good. When you put your money in, every time you put money in, there's a penalty if you take it out in the first 6 or 7 years. There are so many other great vehicles that are out there. What's happened here is you have run into someone who is more interested in making money for themselves than they are in making money for you. So what I would tell you is I would certainly, if you're contributing to that annuity, stop right away.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put any more money into that. And depending on how long you've had it and what the penalties are, this may be a situation where you want to look at going ahead and cashing that in and putting the money into something else that is going to be more tax efficient, that is going to produce higher returns because the expenses aren't going to be so high.
Yeah, well, we were scared to do anything because of his age, and, you know, he's not able to retire for a while, even though we'd like to, but we just don't know what
well,
to do.
Well, there's, you know, here's the thing. What you wanted when you got that product was you said, I've got some money and I need some help investing it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, what you got was a product. What you need is you need an investment advisor, somebody who, number one, that works on a fee basis instead of on a commission basis. So somebody whose interests are aligned with yours. Number two, one of the things that, for example, at my company, the Mutual Fund Store, that we do for every single client is we put together an investment plan. Now, you're saving money. Do you know whether you're saving enough money?
Well, more than likely not, because you don't have much to put in there.
Well, see, and that's my point, is that, you know, it's not enough just to save money. You have to have a plan. You know, when a construction company builds a house, they get an architect first who puts together the plans. They don't just go out there and start building. Well, the same thing is true with your investment plan. You guys have goals and objectives, and that is at some point you'd like to retire and to be able to have a certain amount of income each month to be able to meet your monthly expenses and to live your lifestyle in the way that you become accustomed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody should be putting together an investment plan for you that's going to say, okay, here's what you are, here's where you are, here's how much money you have to put away on a monthly basis or whatever the case may be, and here's your goal, and let's figure out how to get from point A to point B. How should that money be invested? And what's happening is with the H&R Block product, the Nationwide product that you have now, what's happening is that you're actually paying the fees and expenses that you're paying, perhaps 3.5%, 4.5% of the total each year, are eroding the amount of gains that you will ultimately have in your account. And because the fees and expenses are so high, your husband may end up having to work year or years longer than he would have to work if he had a less expensive product. Because the bottom line is that the higher the returns that you get during the years that you're accumulating money, mm-hmm. the less money that you have to contribute. And so right now there's an uneven exchange between the amount of money that you're collecting from that account and the amount of money that insurance company is collecting from that account. And so I think that this is a position where not only do you need to consider getting a different investment, I think that you need to consider getting a different investment advisor. Once again, someone who is concerned with getting you the best investments possible. All right, let's talk with... All right, next up is Barbara in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Barbara, welcome to the Mutual Fund Show.
Hi, Adam.
Hi.
I went to a workshop a couple weeks ago for seniors, education.
I know where this is headed, and I haven't even heard the rest of the story. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I know you talked about annuities at the beginning of the program.
Uh-huh.
Now, this fellow tells me that I would be into fixed indexing...
Uh-huh.
S&P 500,
uh-huh.
and that my I would gain money, but I wouldn't lose any.
Right.
And
that's the pitch. That's the pitch. Now, there are companies out there that do these senior marketing seminars, and the way this usually works is they go, you get a free meal, come to this dinner, this luncheon, and you get your meal, and then they make their pitch. And that's the way they pitch. Oh, if the market goes up, you're going to participate. If the market goes down, you can't lose money. And
right.
This is a great deal. Well, I am here to tell you that this is a really great deal. And it is a great way to make a lot of money for him. Now, is that what you were trying to do, is to make this guy some money? Or are you more interested in your future and having income?
My future, because I'm
going
to
be retired. Oh, well, then I take that back. This is an entirely bad idea. The reason this guy wants you to buy these annuities is because some of these index annuities have commissions of 12 or 15% up front. Now, whether the investment does well or poorly, the guy who sells it to you gets 12 to 15% up front of whatever you put in. And then what happens is these things have long surrender penalties. If you sell it in the first 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 years, you're going to have to pay a penalty to get out if you change your mind. And believe me, you know, things, as time goes by and as you go through life, you're going to change your mind about different investments. And things come in and out of favor, and you never want to have anything that there's a penalty to get out of. Because what happens is when there are penalties, people end up, they'll say, you know, this investment isn't working out, it's not what I want, I'm going to sell it. And they call to sell it and they say, well, you know, there's going to be a $8,000 penalty to sell it. And they go, well, I don't want to pay $8,000, I guess I'll just keep it. And so they end up keeping things that they would otherwise sell because of the penalties. What you've got here is you've gotten a hold of somebody who is much more interested in making money for themselves than they are in making money for you. And I'm sure he appears to be a very nice guy and all those kinds of things. But what you need instead is someone who is concerned about putting together an investment plan, as opposed to someone who is concerned with selling you a product. And that's the difference between an investment advisor and an investment salesperson. And so I would just tell you, I mean, I'm biased. I think I'm the first one to admit, I think that my company, the Mutual Fund Store, that we're the the best at what we do, that our system is fair. The way that our system works is you pay nothing to get in, you pay nothing to get out. You can put your money in today, take it out tomorrow. You'll pay us for one day. So that, you know, the pressure is on us every day to make sure that we're doing a good job for you as our clients, because if we're not, I expect that you're going to take your account away. The bottom line is that I think you can do much, much better than this. I think that this is someone who is preying on unsophisticated. See, during your, and please tell me, this isn't retirement money, is it?
Yes. I'm glad I called you.
Okay. So during your career, when you've been working, you've worked your lifetime to accumulate this money. And, you know, you had money taken out of your check every pay period. And
yes.
You slowly but surely, you accumulated this money. And you sacrificed other things that you could have bought with that money in the meantime so that you would have this money at retirement. And then all of a sudden, in swoops in this vulture who wants to take away and to grab more than his fair share of what you have worked so hard to accumulate. Before I go back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about dreams don't retire. Dreams don't retire. That's a great catchphrase. It's a great slogan for an investment firm. And the firm that we're talking about here is Ameriprise, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. American Express Financial, now known as Ameriprise, has reached a class action settlement whereby they're going to put up $100 million. That seems like a lot, $100 million. They're going to pay $100 million for doing what, you ask? Well, here's what they did. In their lawsuits, the investors claimed that they were sold financial plans and or advice that, instead of being tailored to their individual circumstances, as American Express Financial Advisors, as Ameriprise said they would, it contains standardized recommendations that were designed to steer the customers into investing in Ameriprise's proprietary mutual funds and other proprietary investment products. Okay, so what does that mean? Basically, what happened was clients went to Ameriprise thinking that they went in, hey, I need some advice, I need some help with my money, and these people are going to help me figure out what is best for me. But instead, what the people did was they steered them into American Express, Ameriprise, or RiverSource, which is now the name of those funds, into their mutual funds. Now, this was not a situation where there were a few rogue brokers that were doing these things. According to the notice that Ameriprise sent out, this is the part that is most staggering to me. The parties estimate that approximately 2,450,000 persons are eligible to claim a share of the settlement fund. Let me repeat that. Approximately 2,450,000 persons are eligible. You know, I wish my company, the Mutual Fund Store, I wish I had half that many clients that I could do something nice for. These guys, Ameriprise, they are lucky enough or successful enough to accumulate 2,450,000 clients, and what do? They stick it to them. Incidentally, if you are a client or a former client of Ameriprise, you should have received a notice of this class action lawsuit. If you have not, you can go to financialfeesettlement.com. That's financialfeesettlement.com. It has all the information, the forms that you need to make a claim. July 10th, 2007 is the deadline to submit a proof of claim form. So for the 2,450,000 of you that are listening to me that were clients of Ameriprise, and this is just ridiculous. I was talking with Phil, my producer, as I was putting together the information for the show today. I was like, Phil, how does this keep happening? I mean, week after week, I've told you about Edward Jones, I've told you about A.G. Edwards, I've told you about the funds and the mutual funds. This just goes on. I mean, these guys make it easy for me. You know, sometimes I come in here and I think, what am I going to talk about on the radio today? These guys are making it easy for me. Let's face it, when you go to get financial advice, it is really, really important that you ask your investment advisor, how do you get compensated? Do you take money from people for recommending certain products? And anytime you have someone who is recommending products from the same company that they work for, you have to ask yourself, are they recommending this to me because it's best for me, or are they recommending it because it's best for the company? That's why my company, the Mutual Fund Store, we don't take any money from anybody. I don't take any fees. I don't take any subsidies. That's why you don't hear me doing commercials for specific mutual funds. Believe me, I've been approached. I could make some money doing commercials for mutual fund companies, but it would cloud my ability to be completely objective. I can't guarantee results for my recommendations, but I can guarantee that at the time I made them, it's because I thought they were best for you. Jim, you're on the Mutual Fund Show.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. I've got a Allianz Value Mark III annuity I took out in 96.
That wasn't very nice of them to do to you.
Yeah, I know. I'm not happy with this. And I get, you know, statements, and they say that I can, you know, redistribute the money in different...
What happened to the guy that sold you? What happened to the guy that sold it to you? Does he call you up and say, hey, you know, I think we need to rebalance? And
are you kidding? I've got a contact out on him right now. But I've got it in Franklin Rising Dividend Securities and Franklin Open Income.
Hey, I've got a great idea for you, Jim. I'll do the same. First of all, how old are you?
62.
Okay. How much money did you put into this thing in the first place?
$6,000 originally. I've got 12 now.
Okay. The first thing is, I would give you're talking about a $6,000 profit, would give very serious consideration to just cashing this thing in. And the reason being is that, and I do not like variable annuities, and this is one of the reasons why. Here's what's going to happen. Number one, if you had taken that $6,000 and put it into those very same mutual funds,
mm-hmm.
at the same time, and it was now worth $12,000,
mm-hmm.
but it was just in regular mutual funds, not in the annuities, what would happen is you would sell that, and that $6,000 profit that you have would be taxed as long-term capital gains, which have a maximum tax rate of 15%. So on your $6,000 profit, you would have to pay $900 in taxes, and you would get to keep the other $5,100. Now, instead, the money went into an annuity. And what happens is, it went up, it's worth $6,000 more, and now that $6,000, when you cash that in, that $6,000 is going to be taxed as ordinary income, which can be as high as 35%, depending on, you know, what tax bracket, 28%, you know, 30%, 35% tax bracket. And so instead of paying $900 in taxes on the $6,000 gain, you're going to end up having to pay as much as $1,800 and another $2,100 in taxes on the same amount of gain. But you might as well stop it now. In other words, take that money and put it into something where at least the gains from this day forward are going to be taxed as capital gains rather than being taxed as ordinary income. The second thing is the fees and expenses in that annuity are very high. The way that a mutual fund company makes their money is from ongoing management fees. It's usually around 1%. So if you own the Franklin Rising Dividend Fund and you own it in the annuity or outside the annuity, the way that Franklin makes money is by this 1% management fee that they get, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So how does Allianz, how do they make their money? Well, what they do is they slap on another layer of fees. It's usually somewhere between 1.5% and 3.5% a year. And so what's happening is every year you keep it in there, you're doing 1.5% to 3.5% a year worse than you would if you own the exact same mutual funds outside the annuity. And let's take a middle number. Let's say it's 2% is what it is. And I don't, without seeing the contract, I don't know what it is exactly on that exact product. But let's say it's 2%. Well, you've had that thing for 11 years, so you're talking about 22% plus compounding, less money in your account because you had the annuity than if you had bought the exact same mutual funds outside the annuity. And so the bottom line is, the guy sold you this thing, he got a big fat commission, he was supposed to, when he got that commission, he was supposed to give you, he wasn't just supposed to sell you something one time and then never call you again. He was supposed to give you counsel and watch over the investment and make changes from time to time. He, you know, it's not supposed to be, an annuity where a broker gets a commission is not supposed to be a self-directed investment. So my advice to you is go ahead and cash the annuity in, pay the taxes, and then get some good, really good, consistent performing mutual funds and get rid of this annuity thing. Marie, you're on the Mutual Fund Show.
Hi. I am not as knowledgeable as your previous caller. We're in a position now. We both just retired. I'm 66.
Congratulations.
My husband is 67.
Okay.
Okay. I have an annuity that was part of my school system.
Right.
Retirement plan. It has slightly over $200,000 in it, and
okay.
I need to roll it over.
Okay.
It's been in with the T. Rowe Price Equity Fund, and I was considering rolling it over right into that.
Well, the first thing you want to do, I have a couple pieces of advice for you, and I'm down to just a few minutes here of show left, so let me go through a few things with you. Number one, when you retire, first of all, don't do anything right away. You're not in any hurry. You don't have to do it right away. So,
well, I actually retired from the school system in 2000, but I worked part-time
okay.
after that.
Here's the deal. When you retire, that is a life cycle event. Okay, you during your work.
We need income right now.
Okay, see, and this is exactly what I'm trying to, where I'm headed. When you were working, you were in the accumulative stage of your life, and so you were trying to save as much money as you could, have that money grow, have it build, etc. Now you're in a place in life where you need income, and at your young ages, you're going to need that income for a long time. So you're going to need some growth component as well as a fixed income component. I would tell you that when you retire, that this is a time when it is worth going and getting some professional advice. If you were...
Well, my husband also has $75,000 left in his fund with the company in a Fidelity fund, and he needs to get that out yesterday.
See, well, and that's why I'm saying, you know, I'm biased. I think that at my company, the Mutual Fund Store, we're the best at what we do. But I would urge you to give us a call at the Mutual Fund Store, and it costs nothing for the first meeting. Sit down with one of my advisors, have us put together an investment plan. And what that plan is going to be is it's a way to give you the income that you need on a monthly basis to meet your monthly obligations, and it's a plan to have that money grow over time so that as time goes by, it's going to cost more 10 years from now to buy a loaf of bread than it costs now. So we want to be able to be sure that it's growing enough so that you can, over time, increase the amount of income that you're taking to account for inflation. But by the same token, we want to put you in a place where you're not going to lose your money and have to go back to work. And I think that this is important enough. See, if you're 20 and you have money invested and you make a mistake, it's sad, but you've got enough time to make up for your mistakes. When you're retired, you don't have time to make up for mistakes. And so it requires a plan, just like a architect has a plan before they start building a house, just like a doctor has a plan before he does surgery. You need to have a plan, and this is one of those times when you should go get one from a professional. Tom, you're on the Mutual Fund Show.
Hi, Adam. Quick question. A while ago, you were talking about a MetLife variable annuity.
Yep.
And I didn't hear all of it, and I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but... it's my understanding that on mutual funds, you pay capital gains and dividend taxes each year on that, whereas with the deferred variable annuity, that's accumulated over time, and then you
well,
just pay,
that's
pay
not,
it when
that's
you take
not,
it out.
That's not quite true.
Okay.
Okay, and let me explain it to you. What we were talking about, had a caller with who had a variable annuity, and I said one of the reasons that I don't like variable annuities is because of the tax treatment. With a regular mutual fund, if you buy the fund and you later sell it, as long as you've held it for 12 months, the gains are taxed as a capital gain, which have a maximum tax rate of 15%. With a variable annuity, if you have the same amount of gains and you take the money out, they are taxed as ordinary income, which can be as high as 35%. Now, mutual funds do not pay taxes. mutual funds each year distribute to their owners a proportional share of capital gains distributions and income. But the reality is that there are some mutual funds that are more tax efficient than others. So you take, for example, the Excelsior Value and Restructuring Fund, a fund that I talk about a lot and that I like. Over the last 5 years, let's do the 10 years. Let's take it even longer. Over the last 10 years, that fund has returned 14.14% a year. On a tax-adjusted basis, the return has been 13.77%. So in other words, the tax cost ratio has only been 0.37% a year.
All right, let's go to Ken in Milford, Michigan. Ken, you're on the Mutual Fund Show.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Adam, I had a CD called a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's an IRA form, and I was receiving about $1,100 a month dividends from the CD.
Okay.
And I want that to continue on. I looked at the CD market, and as you're well aware, it's down. And I run an individual that says he has a fixed annuity that's guaranteed 7%. I'm very skeptical of that.
Yeah, I would be.
Okay.
I think that that's a really fantastic idea for him, because it's going to pay him a big fat commission. Those annuities pay the highest commission of just about any product that any investment person sells. Look, and if you've got something that's paying 7% in today's world,
mm-hmm.
there has to be a catch.
Right.
Okay. No insurance company in their right mind would go out and pay 7%. What a lot of these things do is they will say it's a bonus rate annuity where they'll pay you 7% right now,
mm-hmm.
and then for the first year or two, and then it goes to market rate.
Oh.
And the market rate, they'll say, well, the market rate is guaranteed to never be less than 3. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
After the first 2 years, it goes right to 3, and that's where it'll stay. And unlike a CD, if you take money out of a CD early,
mm-hmm.
before it matures, what do? They penalize you interest, but you still get all of your money, right?
Right.
Okay? If you take money out of an annuity early, some of these annuities have surrender penalties up to 20% of the principal. Okay, so I would tell you that I would definitely, definitely stay away from that. Now, if you want a couple of suggestions,
I do,
as to what you might do, what I would recommend to you, if you are a client of the mutual fund store, what I would put together for you is a portfolio of a number of different bond funds. I would look, for example, I would have a portion of the money in a fund like the Westcor Plus Bond Fund, symbol WTIBX. The Westcor Plus Bond Fund currently yields 5.11%,
mm-hmm.
and the fund has never had a negative return. It has averaged 5.68% total return for the last 5 years, 6.13% for the past 10 years. I would have a portion of the money in the Loomis Sayles Bond Fund, symbol LSBRX, which is run by Dan Fuss. Loomis Sayles Bond Fund it's averaged 8.5% a year for the last 10 years. I hesitate to tell people that because I don't expect the returns to be quite that high over time, but the fund currently yields 6.75%.
I see.
And then I would probably have a portion that I would put in the Fidelity Floating Rate High Income Fund, symbol FFRHX. That fund currently yields 6.33%. And I think that with all of these things together, that it gives you a diversification over a number of different types of bonds, but with managers who have shown over extended periods of time that they can deliver the goods, and you can get the income that you need that's going to be higher than what you can get in a CD. Now, there's going to be a little more volatility than a CD, but you can also get out anytime.